Good morning. This is Community Speaks. Community Speaks is brought to you by the Prescription Shop on Fort Street. I'm Brady Safranik. Thank you for joining me on this Wednesday morning. And with me in studio, Christina Schmidt, Public Information Specialist with Wyoming Game and Fish. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning.
And we're going to talk about a number of things here. First is deer capture that was going on right here in this area.
Yeah, this is a pretty unique project. It's been months in the planning stages, and we did get some deer captured last Thursday and Friday. So this is a project of the Mule Deer Initiative, which is a statewide initiative to address people's concerns about mule deer numbers. And the Upper Powder River mule deer herd was identified as a herd in this area that they would like to take a look at and see why numbers are not where they should be. So that covers hunt areas 30, 32, 33, 163, and 169. And the population objective for that herd is 18,000. But as of the end of last year's hunting season, it was just 11,000. And there have been some various management actions taken, so there's almost no doe harvest at this point. There's very limited general licenses. They've liberalized some mountain lion, black bear, elk, whitetail seasons, and some habitat improvement projects have taken place. So there's been some efforts already to address the decline, and this is just one more thing that is being added to that. So it's being spearheaded by the Buffalo wildlife biologist, Cheyenne Stewart, and she wasn't able to make it today, but starting after the new year, she's hoping to provide really regular updates to the public on what we're seeing. So what the project involved was capturing 70 adult mule deer does and fitting them with GPS collars, as well as taking a variety of measurements to look at body condition. So they took some blood samples to look at genetics. They took measurements of, you know, weight, measured nose to tail, measured girth, took a lot of measurements that will help assess body condition. One of those was an ultrasound. We were assisted by the University of Wyoming Hobb School of Environment and Natural Resources, as well as BLM personnel. And the folks from the Hobb School have pretty extensive experience with collaring projects like this on the western side of the state. So they came and assisted. And one of the things that they did, one of the gentlemen with them did, was he did an ultrasound to look at subcutaneous fat on the does along the back. So just to get an idea of what kind of condition they're in going into winter, which is a hard time for critters. And we'll hopefully be able to compare that year after year. So the plan is to actually recapture these deer every year about the same time of year.
Recapture, so you're trying to go after the same ones that you captured the first time?
Correct. Okay. Correct. So, yeah, we were able to capture 70 and put the collars on. And the collars are pretty technologically advanced. I mean, it's pretty amazing what these collars can do these days. So they do have VHF capability. So the traditional way that people think collars work, where a collar emits a signal and a biologist can go out with a receiver and hone in on that signal to find where that animal is. So they do that. But they also have GPS capability now, so they're actually going to be doing two different things, that collar is. One, it will collect a location of each individual deer every 2 hours, which is pretty frequent. So keeping pretty close tabs on those animals. In that, those data points will be stored actually on the collar. So we won't be able to see those particular movements until we retrieve the collar.
So you can't just go to a website, oh, there's my deer, and they're walking around.
Well, for the two-hour time increments, correct. So that information will be on board. You know, if one of the deer dies, we'll be able to retrieve the collar. Or hopefully next year, again, we'll recapture it at the same time. And, you know, in theory, you could look at it. But what they're... The other option is they have a collection time every 6 hours as well. So they're taken points every 6 hours, and after six of those, so every 36 hours, that information is relayed via satellite, and Cheyenne and other biologists will be able to look at that data. So about every day and a half or so, they'll be able to look at it. And that's still fairly frequent. So they'll be getting a lot of good information over the next 3 years, which is how long this will run. But then they'll be able to get even more specific once they retrieve those collars at the end of the study, or if one dies.
Okay. And so that's going on for how long?
3 years.
3 years?
Yes. So at the end of the study, the deer will either be recaptured and the collars will be collected, or I also believe that they have a charger on them that will discharge and automatically pop off that collar and it can be retrieved. So the goal is to make sure to get those collars back. Again, the really fine-scale data, those two-hour increments are stored on the collar, so it's really important to get those collars back.
Okay. And you guys have, for the hunters out there, a hunt planner available?
We do. And there has been a hunt planner on the website. We get, thousands of phone calls every year across the state from hunters, residents, non-residents, who want information about specific hunt areas and things like that. So we're trying to give folks some tools to do a bunch of research. And in the past, we've had a hunt planner available, but they've added a whole new suite of tools on there, which are pretty impressive. So throughout the state, biologists and game wardens created detailed descriptions of every deer, elk, and antelope area in the state. So, hundreds of pages of information coming into our web guide to get loaded up. And each one is a little different. But we try to include information like public access in the area. So someone may look and say, oh, there's a lot of public land on the map and think there's a lot of access, but maybe there aren't publicly accessible roads to those areas. So we're trying to address some of those questions that folks have that, looking on a map, you may not get all the details of it. Some of them discuss the habitat types, some of the behavior of the animals, for example, hey, this herd, when there's snow on the mountain, will end up pushing down into these areas. How much hunting pressure an area receives, if there's special archery season dates, the best time to hunt, for example, in some areas, we recommend for a lot of folks, if they are willing and are able, coming later in the season, they might have more luck or more access to private areas. For example, a lot of private landowners fill up with hunters pretty early in the season, but maybe later in the season, if you're willing to wait, you might have better access opportunities. Mapping tools, tons of information on these things, and very specific to each hunt area. They also included some really easy-to-read graphs of drawing odds, which is new. I think in the past, they may have had percentages, but these are really easy to look at and say, oh, good drawing odds in this area, or maybe this area is a little tougher. So the web designer has put a ton of work into this, and he did go, of course, he's in Cheyenne. He went to a couple sporting goods stores this past month and visited with folks and kind of gave him a sneak peek of what it was going to look like, just get feedback on, people say, oh, that's easy to use or that's confusing or whatever. So he was getting a lot of feedback and really positive. So I think it'll be really helpful for residents and non-residents. They'll be able to go to the website and look at a lot of really specific information.
Very cool. And, of course, we're in the heart of pheasant hunting season, almost a couple weeks left here before it expires at the end of the month. But there's still birds to be put out there, isn't there?
Yes, the bird farm is still stocking birds. The season goes until December 31st. And as of a couple weeks ago, they still had, a couple thousand birds or less to put out. So they've continued to stock very regularly. They did note that Fort Phil Kearny, the walk-in area there, will receive a final stocking the week of Christmas. So they are continuing to put birds out in various walk-in areas. And I imagine Bud Love is still getting birds. And, you know, lots of good weather. I mean, the weather's been pretty nice. So
it's been wonderful.
Folks have lots of opportunity yet to still go out and try to get a pheasant. And the bird farm does keep, it's kind of a hotline of sorts. If you call the bird farm main number, which is 674-7701, they do have a recording that they update, I think, weekly, saying where, you know, remaining areas that will be getting birds. It's not a schedule per se. It's, you know, not, you know, Tuesday at 3, we'll be at Bud Love or whatever. But they do give folks an idea that, yes, we're still putting birds out in these areas. So you will have, you know, some opportunity if you go to those areas. So folks are welcome to call there if they want to get an idea of where they might find birds. And a reminder that since we're talking about Bud Love and Ed O. Taylor, our wildlife habitat management areas, will close to human presence on January 1st. And okay. That is to protect wintering big game animals from disturbance during the winter.
And there are still some hunting seasons beyond just birds that are still going.
Yeah, just a couple late elk seasons are going. And these are for antlerless or cow-calf tags. And, you know, this means hunters really need to look carefully before they harvest an animal. It's, you know, to make sure it's actually a female or a calf and not, you know, a spike elk or an elk that's a lot of its antlers already, that kind of thing. Every year there's a few issues of this happening, and, you know, it just requires people to slow down a little bit and just be really cautious before they take their shot and make sure, you know, what they're shooting at. And accidents happen. If you make a mistake, give a call to the local game warden.
Now, some people might think, well, if I do that, I'm going to get into trouble. I would imagine if they show up and there's a giant rack on this elk, they're not really going to believe you that you didn't see it.
Yeah, you know, our wardens are fair, and they look at each individual circumstance and you know, realize that sometimes mistakes happen. And so, you know, they do appreciate getting that phone call and just being made aware of what has happened.
And if you don't call and you get pulled over going down the road or go by a check station, then you are in trouble.
Yeah, like I said, they're fair. They understand. But it is a big help to them if you can, you know, just self-report and say, hey, you know, here's what happened. And like I said, they look at every situation individually and decide on a course of action.
And, you know, before we came on the air, we discussed this next topic just a little bit. And I couldn't believe that people are actually out doing some ice fishing in the area already. That seems quite dangerous to me.
Yeah, as of, you know, several days ago, our fisheries biologist said he had seen a few people out on Healy and some other places. And just remind folks to be really cautious. You know, the weather has been pretty warm and fluctuates. You know, I think at my house the other day it was close to 60. So we've had some really warm days, we've had some colder days, but, you know, in general, we just want people to be really cautious before they go out and make sure they can read the ice and know if it's safe. And, you know, the Game and Fish Department does have a YouTube site where we put various video clips on a whole variety of topics, and we do have a couple on ice fishing safety, so there's one on just safety in general, and there's another one on safety gear that's a good idea to carry with you, and they're both pretty helpful. If you just Google Wyoming Game and Fish Department YouTube, you'll go to a page, and it's got tons of videos you can take a look at, but kind of helpful, especially if you haven't been ice fishing very much. It's, you know, it's something you really should kind of educate yourself about before you go and make sure you're safe.
And maybe wait till January, at least this year. It's a little warm right now. I'd be very nervous to see someone on the ice right now. Now, there's also something going on, the Conservation Stamp Art Contest. What can you tell us about this?
This is a contest we have every year for artists. And if you hunt or fish, you are familiar with a conservation stamp. It is required for most of our licenses, and it features a different species, a different Wyoming wildlife species every year. And we have artists who submit artwork, and a series of or a panel of biologists who are familiar with the animals will look and judge, you know, all these different entries for, oh, anatomical correctness, correct colors, all of that kind of thing. So this year was a badger that was featured on the stamp. Next year, I believe it's a mule deer. And for 2020, which is the contest that is open now, it will be a Colorado River cutthroat trout. And so artists can start to submit their pieces on January 2nd, 2019. They can go to our website. There are, you know, some specific rules and regulations. And I think most artists who enter these kind of contests are familiar with, you know, there are some standards they need to meet. But it's a pretty great opportunity. If you take a look at those stamps, they feature really incredible artwork, really talented artists. And you know, for an artist whose piece is chosen, I mean, these are seen by thousands of people. It's, you know, they get a lot of great exposure for their artwork. So we do encourage people, if anyone's interested, if we have any artists out there who would like to submit, go ahead and go to our website, take a look. And the winner actually gets $3,500. Second place gets $2,000. Third place gets $1,000. So there is a monetary value to it as well. But like I said, it's fantastic exposure, and a lot of people get to see your work.
Very cool. And it's not bad to get $3,500 either.
That is correct.
Talking with Christina Schmidt, Public Information Specialist with Wyoming Game and Fish. Christina, thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This is Community Speaks, and it's brought to you by The Prescription Shop on Fort Street. Stop into The Prescription Shop, where they are so much more than just prescription medication. And keep those dials tuned, KBBS.